A horror pile-up in Perth's north, the PM facing a power bill showdown, and children injured as Christmas fireworks go terribly wrong. It's Monday, the 12th of December.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty. How
G'day,
you doing?
G'day, mate. Happy Monday. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was a very good weekend. I spent some time in the shops, which probably wasn't the highlight, fighting the crowds. But all this talk of, you know, cost of living and people tightening their belts, I didn't see any evidence of that. I saw money being spent like there was no tomorrow at Karrinup Shopping Centre.
A bit of a hangover in January, maybe, on the credit card.
I think so. Some scary credit card bills in January, for sure. And now, there's never a good time of year to hear about accidents on our roads, but it seems to hit a little different during the festive season. What's the latest on this horror crash in Perth's north overnight?
Yeah, so 7 people have been injured, including 5 children, in this crash in Condoola. It happened at the intersection of Alexander Drive and Beach Road. 2 adults have been injured. 1 has been taken to Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital and 1 has been taken to Royal Perth Hospital. The driver of one of the vehicles, which ended up on its side and had most of the children in it apparently, has been taken away by police. So at this stage, major crash investigations are underway. Police are wanting anybody with dash cam or anybody who saw the crash to get in contact with them via Crime Stoppers. Hopefully these kids can make it through. One of the children was taken on priority to hospital, which means they were in a critical condition. So just to repeat, 7 people injured, 5 of them children in hospital.
It's just absolutely horrible. And now I've got some breaking news for you, Matty. So it's come courtesy of our colleague Geoffrey Thomas, the aviation editor at the West Australian. So he's discovered that MH370, the flight that infamously went missing, the final moments of that flight have been brought into sharp focus with the discovery of a new piece of debris that might give major clues to those final tragic moments of the Boeing 777 that was lost in 2014 with all 239 aboard. And so this piece of debris was discovered in a fisherman's backyard.
Whereabouts?
So it was washed ashore on the South Beach in Madagascar in March 2017 after a tropical storm, Fernando, had passed by.
Hang on, we're only hearing about it now.
Yeah, only hearing about it now. And so because I think, you know, probably lots of debris washed up around that area after this huge storm. People maybe was walking down the beach, picked up something and thought this is a bit weird, and then just had it in their backyard. Who knows? You could have had it as a beer coaster.
And so this is 2017, it's washed up.
Yep.
And we're at the end of 2022.
Yeah.
And I wonder what's made this person go, oh, actually, well, maybe I should mention about that bit of debris.
Investigators were going around, investigating whether or not debris had washed up, talking to the locals, and it probably takes time for this sort of stuff to come up. And so this piece of debris, I guess, is a remnant of the landing gear.
Okay.
So, and they're almost certain that it's from the MH370. So there's still some investigation still to go, but every little piece that is found helps, I guess, piece together the puzzle of what happened to MH370.
And I suppose if this is the bit of the landing gear, that maybe the landing gear was open.
Yeah.
When it was going down.
Yep. And so we'll see. There's still so much more that we need to learn about this terrible incident. And now a Perth suburb has got its very own Christmas Grinch, Matty, and he's been caught on CCTV.
Yes. An Averley family is reeling. Hundreds of dollars worth of presents have been stolen. This could happen to anybody. So what has happened is presents have been delivered by the post. They've been left at the front of the house, and this Grinch has gotten in, stolen hundreds of dollars worth of presents, and the owner saw it all unfold because they had security cameras and there were motion detector sensors on them, but there was nothing that they could do about it. So this Grinch has gotten away with presents. He may not be getting... I think he's on the naughty list. He's definitely on the naughty list. He may be getting a visit not from Santa but from Ellenbrook Police, potentially. But the warning to people is... select when you go to send a parcel for it to have to be signed.
Yep.
And then that way, if the person's not home, it goes to their local post office. Yes, it's an absolute pain to have to go there, but it's better than not getting your presents.
Yeah, exactly. And you can bet that this bloke, this Grinch, is not the only one around town at the moment who's taking advantage of the fact that a lot of people are doing online shopping. These packages are being left at people's front doors.
Mm. You know what happened to my mum's got scammed out of this. So sent me Christmas parcel, right?
Yeah.
This was only on unfolding over the past couple of days. It was meant to come to work, but has gone instead to a different post office, not near work, which is strange. And I said, I'll sort it out. And so I've sent sort of the form to Australia Post to kind of recover the parcel and get it sent to where it was meant to be sent to. In the meantime, Mum loves Christmas and obviously wanted a bit of a project and has gotten a text message purporting to be from Australia Post about a parcel. Has gone in there. It said that she needed to pay more for it to, the parcel to be delivered to me, put in the credit card details. This person has gone on a spending spree at David Jones. So now trying to recover the thousands of dollars.
And so your mum won't really be the only careful. Person caught out by that at this time.
Do you know what the irony is? I forwarded Mum the email I'd sent to Australia Post to prove to her, I'm on to this. You can calm down. It's totally fine. She's just sent me an email this morning going, I'm so sorry it went to my spam folder. I didn't see it. Oh, the irony.
Own email from a son, go to the spam folder. And now, federal politicians thought their Christmas holidays had started early, but Anthony Albanese has recalled Parliament to pass his government's emergency energy legislation, but he faces a roadblock in the Senate as well as a campaign from the energy industry. So we spoke about this last week. Albo's big plan to cap the energy bill prices because there's an East Coast energy crisis, and it all comes after National Cabinet met on Friday and they agreed on Albo's four-point plan. One of those points was that the government would enforce a mandatory code of conduct to cap gas prices at $12 a gigajoule for the next 12 months, and the ACCC was going to monitor that. And the federal government was also working with the New South Wales and Queensland governments to introduce a temporary coal price cap of $125 per tonne, which is about half of what they can currently get on the free market. But now it's got to get through Parliament, and the Coalition have been fiercely critical of the plan. And now the Greens, who maybe sense a bit of an opportunity, they think they've got some leverage here to wield their influence as a crucial voting bloc in the Senate. So they've said that they're going to impose any compensation to coal corporations. They want coal and gas corporations to fund higher levels of price bill relief through additional taxes rather than any sort of caps and paying any sort of compensation to those companies for those caps. In response, Albo said he'd be amazed if the opposition voted to increase energy bills for households. So he's got himself a nice little wedge issue there. The oil and gas industry also less than impressed. The Australian Petroleum Production and Exploration Association, or APEA to its mates, is seeking an urgent meeting with the PM. And this is the interesting thing, right? Like, they're saying they're even more concerned about this whole cap situation after seeing the draft legislation. And they point to the rushed nature of it all. They've only been given a couple of days of public consultation before Albo will attempt to push it through Parley. Does feel, just like those IR laws, does feel a little bit rushed.
It feels like it's the end of the year, Christmas is coming, quick, let's tie the bow, get this done, because we don't want this carrying into 2023. Sorry, I had to think what year we're going into, 2023. It does feel a little rushed.
To
only have a couple of days of public consultation.
To push through legislation, which you're talking about literally billions of dollars worth of cost and compensation and an entire industry impacted and potential future projects, there's a bit to unpack with this one. And, I get the rush from the general public's point of view to bring down those power bills, but maybe take a bit of time with this one. Let's see how it unfolds. And now, I looked out my window last night and I could see fireworks down at Scarborough Christmas carols. It happens down there at the amphitheatre. Beautiful event. Looked lovely. And there are these type of events happening all around the country at the moment as we head into Christmas. But one in Sydney took a terrifying turn last night. Christmas celebrations at Allenby Heights Oval in Sydney's Northern Beaches turned to chaos when the fireworks started raining down on the watching crowd. Take a listen to this.
Goodness.
How crazy is that? So
I know. Our drones went into the water, but we didn't have that on.
So 11-year-old boy suffered a chest injury and was taken to Royal North Shore Hospital, while an 8-year-old girl was taken to hospital for a wrist injury. So it's unclear exactly why the fireworks landed in the crowds. And there's speculation that it might have been winds that pushed the fireworks in the wrong direction. There's going to be a criminal investigation, so we'll see.
geez, that's terrifying, isn't it? When you just take your kids along to go and see the fireworks and then they end up screaming.
Injured. The sound effects of that were absolutely horrible. Awful. And so it's been 50 years to the day since astronauts last walked on the moon. Did you know that? So 1972,
well, I do now.
December 11, 1972, two astronauts aboard Apollo 17, Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt, became the last of 12 people who ever walked on the moon. But there's a race now to get back there, to get people back on the moon. And so NASA's uncrewed Orion space capsule successfully splashed down in the Pacific on Sunday. It didn't have any people on board, but it did have three crash test dummies that were wired up with vibration sensors and radiation monitors to basically see...
Just to see if they could survive the crash.
To see how they'll survive it, because they want to get people back up on the moon. Exactly why, I don't know. But
well, this is the thing. There's not much there, is there?
Well, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Like, you think, like, what could we have really assessed, you know, back in 1972? They spent 3 days there in the valley of Taurus Littrow, in case you're wondering what they were doing up there, which was the longest moon landing of the Apollo era. Japan also wants to get up to the moon. They've successfully launched an unmanned moon lander on a SpaceX rocket over the weekend. So it's a bit of a moon
bit
race.
Bit of a race
moon
going
race
on.
Moon race 2.0. And now, finally, this is some interesting news. So police have confirmed a Libyan accused of preparing the bomb that killed 270 people. I remember Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988. So that man is now in custody. Mohammed Abu Ghella Massoud has been extradited to the United States after a lengthy investigation. And so we'll wait and see where that one goes next. Sport. Maddie, it was a huge weekend of upsets at the World Cup.
England.
Oh, England. Heartbreak for those fans. They got knocked out by the French 2-1. Morocco defeated Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo is packing his bags. He's out of there. Had a few parting shots on the way out.
His grandparents in Perth won't be happy.
No, yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, remember that. And still waiting to hear from them.
Yeah, yes. They've stayed pretty quiet during this World Cup. Croatia, though, knocked off the giants Brazil. Despite the Brazilians scoring one of the best goals you'll ever see at a World Cup. Just a beautifully worked set piece, it looked like. So, yeah, Croatia, the smallest nation still left in the World Cup. They're rolling. They made it to the final last time around, I'm pretty sure. And so now it sets up two fascinating semi-final clashes. Croatia and Argentina will face off at 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, Perth time, and France will play Morocco, also giant killers, at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning.
The Wild West.
And now, Maddie, have you got some good news for us when it comes to getting those rock lobsters for the Christmas lunch?
Yes, there's a new way you can buy Western rock lobsters this Christmas, and that is online. This is quite cool. The website is backofboat.com. So you can buy it direct from the fishers, and you basically line it up. You can either, you know, order online, or you can, you know, put in what you'd like and meet them at the back of the boat as they come into port. Yeah, there's all the information when they're coming into port, and lots of different areas covered. So Frio, the obvious one, Geraldton, Lancelin, Two Rocks, Ledge Point, Port Coogee, Durian Bay and Dongara. So in December, fishers are allowed to sell up to 400 lobsters per landing, and then in other months, 200 lobsters per landing. But really good if you just want to kind of get it all sorted. Yeah,
so,
ahead of time.
And so can you, like, literally get it off the back of the boat?
Back of boat, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
Straight off the back of the boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
it
awesome.
It sounds like it's almost illegal, but it's very much legal. Very much legal.
I'm sure it was never happening
Not
before
back of
now.
A truck, back of a boat.
Yeah, yeah, and there, they keep them on ice. They freeze them right straight away, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Freeze them and away you go. But I love that. And I like the idea of taking the kids down, you know, to show them how the food supply chain works.
Yeah.
These are the guys that go out on their boats and they catch the lobsters. And yeah, I like it.
Do you have lobsters at Christmas?
No, not traditionally.
Oh, okay. I've started the last couple of years because you remember they were dirt cheap. They were like 20 bucks.
Yeah. I wonder how much they're going to be now, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, it all depends on the market price and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. I'm going to investigate it, though. Backofboat.com, is that what it's called?
Backofboat.com.
Backofboat.com.
Backofboat.com, yeah. Hit it up.
And that's your news from The West Australian for Monday, December 12. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, we'll chat to you tomorrow.
We'll do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.